Blog Talk Radio.
There's a governor, they call him Governor Doom, because he'd been preaching the doom of America so much and telling them what they ought to do to turn this thing around, so he got the nickname Governor Doom. And there's President Carter's foreign advisor, used to be foreign advisor to President Carter, Brzezinski. He's saying the same thing, that unless this nation recognizes this peculiar behavior that it has and turn the thing around, everything will be lost. And things are not getting better, they're getting worse. So we should be happy that we have something to support our life. We don't need their religion. We have our religion. And we don't need their philosophies or their ideologies. We have ours. It's in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet and in the wisdom of the Muslim scholars. We don't need anything from them. No. In fact, our presence in any non-Muslim country, if we be Muslims, is a blessing to that people. Yes, it's a real blessing to that people, if we be really Muslim. They don't have much to offer us. No, indeed. And if you all stop following their sense and start following Islamic sense, you'll do better as families, you'll do better as business people, you'll do better even in America's politics. Yes, if you stop following their senses and start following the sense of a Muslim, obedient to the word of God and the Sunnah of the Prophet, you'll find that you'll make much more progress. The most progressive people in this country, materially speaking, and in the sense of achievement, social achievement, cultural achievement, according to studies that have been done recently, is the Jew. Now, how come the Jews stand out for financial success and all other kinds of success as a people, for the people? How come he stands out? Because the Jew, to this present time, has been successful at keeping to his own way of life. He's in America, but he's a Jew. He supports America, but he's a Jew. He thinks Jew. He lives Jew. He has his own view of reality from a Jewish knowledge base. He stands on Jewish knowledge. And then he looks at the world and he says with Jewish eyes what the world is, what the world should be, part of the soup. And a Muslim should understand that you have the greatness. Now, the only way you want to realize that is holding true to your religion and to your life form. The Muslims under Prophet Muhammad realized that because they held true to their religion. They held true to the Islamic life form. They pursued Islamic goals, not the goals that the world suggested, as we are doing. The average one of you, you're pursuing goals that this world suggests to you. You're not looking at your religion. You're not studying the Quran and studying the Sunnah and studying the history of this religion to see what should be your goals that you should be pursuing. No, you're getting your cues from the environment of the world. Huh? In other words, then you are not under the power of your religion. You're under the power of the world. The world is forming you. The world is forming your future. And that's why we are weak as Muslims in this country. When we get our life into our hands sufficiently, like the Jew has his life in his hands, But I hope we can do it even better. We should. We would do it much better. When we get our life in our own hand, and we start living our life in accordance with our religion, buddy, we are going to become a progressive people in this country. And not only in this country, wherever we live. We're talking about a revelation that has not been challenged successfully, the Quran. We're talking about a reputation of a man, of a successor, of a successful leader, a triumphant leader, Muhammad, peace be upon him. We're talking about a record that has not been challenged successfully. Huh? And we're also talking about a history that cannot be matched. Given the time that the accomplishments were realized, the short period of time, and the longevity of that life for a nation like Spain, a country founded by the people of North Africa. Huh? By the people of North Africa. Not Spain itself, but that order of Spain that survived under the Muslims were established under Muslims from North Africa. Some of them might have been your forefathers and mothers. That's a fact. In fact, nobody would be so foolish to say that none of their descendants are among us. There must be some of their descendants among us. In fact, I remember my father showing us a newspaper clipping. With a man on the slave block being sold, and he was dressed like a Moor of Northern Africa. He had that dress. And one of the names they used to give us was Blackamoor. Called us Negro, they called colored people, they called us black people. They also called us Blackamoor. So they must have thought, too, some of us descended from the Moors. You see? So you don't know what past you may have. You've cut off of your past. So all we can do is just speculate and guess as to what the past was for us individually. Or go on a hunt for our roots like Haley did. And come up with a movie. We could do that. But what we can be sure of, if we are true believers, is the future. We can work for an Islamic future. Maybe we're not certain that we had an Islamic past, but we can, if we are Muslims, we can work for an Islamic future. And if we will do that, we will progress ourselves. Not separately like some of us do, and it doesn't count for much. We die and we leave nothing back here for the race and nothing for the children. But we will progress as a society, as a community of Muslims in America. But we should learn from the unity of creation, the oneness of its nature, its consistent laws. We should learn great sciences and then use those sciences to better our own environment and to make progress for ourselves on this earth. We have to stop thinking spiritually. Religious people are spiritual, but their assignment is on this earth until God called them away from it. Our assignment is on this earth. So we cannot be thinking spiritual, that we are a spiritual community. No. We are a dynamic, striving, productive community if we are Muslims. We're supposed to be working to improve the whole life of man, if we're really Muslims. So let us keep the Islamic life before us and the commitment to community life and community advancement. Because God sent Muhammad to us to guide us into community life and into community establishment.
that we may be a community on this earth. No matter where we are, we are to live the disciplines of Islamic community life. To live those disciplines is also to have Islamic businesses, Islamic cultural facilities, Islamic outlets for the total need in your human life. America is a good place for it, because in America, that right is sacred. That's a sacred right in America's law, the constitutional law, that every people have a right to practice their own religion, to have their own religious government. Do you know that? Do you know that religious people have the right to their own religious government? That's why there's a separation of church and state, because they recognize church as government and state as government. And the Christians are entitled to Christian government life. Jews, they don't ask anybody for it. They have their government life. They've always had it. They ain't going to change it. Many of the Asians come over here, they have their government life. Doesn't mean that you work against this government. No, you agree. This government is so loose. You have to have another government. Yeah, if you don't have another government, you don't have any government. This government is only it's a support. It's a guardian for your government. That's all it is. It's a guardian for the government that you choose. Now, what government do you choose? You choose Islamic government, you choose Hindu government, you choose Jewish government, you choose church government. What government you choose? Okay, this government is supposed to be a guardian for your government, as long as you're a citizen of this country. But if you don't have no system government, this government ain't much for you. That's a fact. I know many of the ignorance among us, they can't understand that, and they can't see what I'm saying. They can't appreciate what I'm saying here. Oh, don't call us ignorant, Brother Imam. I called you ignorant in a nice way. I said the ignorant among us. So we got our ignorant, and we got our wise, I hope. So that doesn't... Don't be ashamed of somebody saying that you're ignorant. I'm ignorant myself in some respects. Maybe in many respects. I'm ignorant myself. And in respect of what I'm saying right now, I'm sure many of you all are ignorant. You don't understand this country's idea. The idea of the American people, this country, the nation. You don't understand it. And you think that there's only one government. This government, just like it has states within the state. So many states, but all coming under federal government. The one state, the United States. But in the United States, the president come out and he gives the State of the Union address, right? The State of the Union address. So the Union is one state, but in that one Union, there are many states. And all the states have their different laws. Huh? And then the cities have their different laws. And little townships have their different laws. And if you want to form your own township, you can form your own township, and your township can have laws for your own needs that people have to respect when they come into your township. America is a freedom all the way. There's nothing in America that's not free. Even law is free in America. It's free to the point that we can scrap the whole Constitution and bring in another one. Isn't that provided in the Constitution of the United States? Yes. So don't be afraid. I say that to keep make tell you, don't be afraid. What are you afraid of? You know, we were slaves for 3 centuries. We were slaves. Not necessarily us here, but our people. For centuries, we were slaves. And I think still the ghost of slavery is in us saying, is that permissible? And you'll never know what is permissible unless you study. Why don't you study it? If you're afraid to progress in America because you're afraid to break a law, or you're afraid to do something out of order, you think you're going to meet grave consequences for doing it, then if you want to be bigger and more progressive, you want to get more, you want to have more in life, why don't you study America's law? Study its constitution. Study its history. Study its idea.
And if you come to know it better, you realize then that you have much more freedom than you're asking for. Black people don't ask for much freedom. Just want the freedom to work. And really, we don't want the freedom to work. Most of us just want the freedom to eat, sleep, have sex, have fun, die. Now, that's the truth. That's the fact. Most of us, that's the limit of our freedom, all the freedom we want. Say, oh, hey, what is this great idea you Muslims got? How much money you all got? Because money means party, a woman, food, drink, see? So really, you don't want no money. If you wanted money, you get into economics. Get into financing. If you want some money, really, you don't want no money. You want sex. You want some real liquor, some drinks, and some food. You want to eat. You want to be warm. You want to look good. You want to be dressed up, you see? You want to ride around a nice car. But really, you don't want no money. You want looks and feelings. Right? You just want looks and feelings. That's all he wants. Because if he wanted money, he wouldn't be asking for those things. He wouldn't ask for money. He wouldn't even ask for a job. He would ask for freedom. Eh? He'd ask for freedom. Because if he's free, and if he's got what it takes, he can get whatever anybody else can get.
It's such a struggle trying to climb the ladder of success. Living in a world where every day my strength is put to the test. But I face that test with courage, and I just won't be discouraged. I'm determined, you see, to reach my
possibility.
Now I run across so many things that could block me. But I made up my mind. Much more than I can see, and so much that I can become. That's why I'm reaching for the sun.
I see my possibility. Just woke up and found him here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me.
I'm looking for the dollar track. Get ahead, I want the back.
I see my
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمد رسول الله. My intro music wasn't on my live screen on that. I feel my possibilities. Just woke up and have them here with me. Okay, that's as much y'all gonna get today.
sounds good.
My neck. But it's all good. Y'all knew I was rocking to something. Alhamdulillah. How you doing today, Hajja?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. My Wi-Fi has been acting up with
I see
rain.
I see mute. Look, hold up, sweetie. I see mute on your screen.
That's me.
Okay.
I should be on it.
Like James Brown said, now we're together, let's go.
I push mute just in case any little background noises or anything else like that. I'll be rattling the cup and it just kind of messes up.
I understand.
I do understand. Alhamdulillah. I am well. You know, it's always kicking off a new week, coming off of a beautiful weekend. So, yeah, I'm good. I'm actually quite
so you got your
today.
Your Anika special sweatshirt on then?
I do.
Anika?
I do.
Yeah.
New African design.
Well, can you hop up a little bit just to get, because your name kind of knocked it down. Okay, good. So, and it has all the names of different people who have been victims. Huh? Go ahead.
Yes. This is actually a great story to tell. And I think I'll wait to share that when for my little segment because this is a good lead-in. I wasn't even planning on this as far as like sharing this because tell us again what the title was because this is why this would make sense for me.
Because
I remember you said creativity. Come on.
The today's segment is, let me get out of the floor. Today's segment is An Islamic Introduction to Spiritual Physics. Imagination. That's where I'm going.
Imagination.
With that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it all has to do with creation, creativity, you know, industry and all that kind of thing. But I'm going into the science of that thing that we don't quite understand. But I'm gonna get out the way and let you do you. All right.
That was
you
quite aggressive. Yes.
Yeah, well, we want to get it going, man. All right.
Yes, I understand. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله السلام عليكم to everyone who is listening on Blog Talk or with us live via Facebook and YouTube. My name is Hajja Camila Shuwaive and I'm happy to be here again on this beautiful Motivational Monday. For Wealth Creation Preservation, and to share some thoughts. We missed you all last week, but it was good. Sometimes we need to take a breather. Sometimes we need a moment to reconnect with self, to be prepared to share on this platform and to fill our tank, so to speak, right? So when there was this collective energy of everyone is on vacation or three-day weekend or what have you, you know I felt it within myself, like we share a collective energy. And I also say that as we start to lead into Ramadan, which is just so exciting. Like, I could always say that there have been years getting ready for Ramadan where I would have these challenging moments months before, and I always say to myself, oh, okay, you know, this is Ramadan is coming. This is bringing things to the forefront of my mind, so I know what I need to focus on for this month and so forth. And I'm very, very happy to say that has not been the case for me leading it, because Ramadan is a matter of, 2.5, maybe 3 weeks away. And it allows me to enter into this month with a lighter energy, and for me to have a sense of control around, you know, I don't have anything to, air quotes, prove, right? Because we always say, this month I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's good. That is good. You should set goals all the time. But at the same time, we want the energy of what we enter into the month preparing for to carry on through, not just during Ramadan, but throughout. We want to build a new habit. So as a result of Ramadan, we come out of there with an additional habit that we continue to have, right? And I say that because if you have not gone to If you have not seen the recordings of Juma that the Imam has done around building Ummah and just an array of topics, but I know at the core of it was around building Ummah. Do yourself a favor. Just carve out some time to go back, even if it's one of those things where, hey, I'm not going to be able to sit for the whole 45, 30-minute session, but just set the timer and get a couple of minutes in. It will change and prepare you for this coming Ramadan, right? And I say that because this collective energy, like why it's so powerful when we come together and pray congregationally, is like when everyone is in alignment for it, you feel it, right? And so this idea of, when he had mentioned imagination, creation, creativity, I'm a firm believer that an individual's gift or the talent or skill that Allah sends us here with is meant for us to be able to explore the beauty of this life, right? Explore the beauty. Like, you know, this is why this part of being an entrepreneur is so, in my opinion, it's important. It's just severely important. And I'm not saying being an entrepreneur, go quit your job and do that. Like, I'm not going to even sidebar that. I need you to understand what I mean by that, because, you know, if you're a doctor, it doesn't mean that you have to have a private practice, right? If you're a doctor, your services is needed in the hospital. If you are a teacher, you don't have to, you can homeschool, absolutely, but maybe your skills are needed in a community with other ones who will not have access to the skills that you have and the passion behind education that you bring to it. I say that because, I don't know if I have a little hiccup as far as my Wi-Fi. I'm telling you, this Wi-Fi is challenging me. But I believe I'm still here. So I say that to say, you know, you as an individual are a business. Even on your job, they are trading your time for money. Like, you're trading your time for money. You're going to the job. You are a business, and they are paying you for your skill to do it. If it's a job that you don't like, then that's the part that we need to, you know, investigate. Like, okay, well, maybe I'm not cut out to work this job, right? But when you're doing a job that you love and they're paying you to do what it is that you love to do, and I don't care what area industry that we're speaking of, they're paying you for it, you are the business. You show up and tell them why they need your skill, right? It doesn't mean you have to run it by yourself. So I'm going to leave that there, right? So this idea of our creativity, imagination is what we visualize as something that has not existed yet, right? So this was someone's imagination brought to life this year. That there was a moment that someone had an idea. What if X? What if I created this that does that to help people do this, right? Like, that's the blueprint. And you start to, with that vision in your mind, when you speak it, it's like, okay, now how do I start to put the mechanics together to make it happen? And these ideas that come to us, I think that especially for individuals who are artists, so we're sharing Anika's shirt, and, you know, I have some of my paintings here. My son also does art, and, you know, I write and I journal. Like, you become this vessel of receiving these inspired thoughts, these inspired visions, whether it comes in colors, in poetry, in song, in scripts, in stories, you know, so all of those things. And your body takes it in, and then it creates a way to express an idea. So this drawing, the reason why I want to say about this drawing is she was saying that she was just doodling. She needed a way to relieve herself of the stressors of what was happening, you know, in the beginning of this activist movement. And so she just drew it. She just drew it and just shared it. And with no intent of making it into a product, with no intent of, you know, selling it as posters or T-shirts, nothing. She just wanted to share something that was heavy on her heart and give it to the people and said, and thought that maybe this piece of art will support someone else digesting this experience. And as a result, it went viral. Like, it just took off. And it was a shock to her. Like, next thing you know, we started seeing popping up everywhere. People had it on earrings, and folks had it with sharing here. One company tried to erase her name off the bottom of it and use it as their logo for their business. I mean, and people were contacting her because we knew that it was her work, because she has a very distinct style. And so she had to protect herself legally, sending out the cease and desist and everything else, because celebrities were sharing her pictures. An artist did a music video and had her poster up in the music video about the same thing. And that wasn't the intent, but it was so heavy on her that her spirit and her emotions went into creating this piece, and everyone had a chance to experience it as a result of her sharing her vulnerability, her pain, and her hope for there to be some level of collective healing in this process, right? And that catapulted her in understanding how valuable her skill is, how valuable she is and what she creates. And anyone who has experienced her work, it speaks so directly to the history of our community and the importance of us being seen and reflected in the artistic spaces. She makes sure to do that. So that's my plug for New Africa Design. I say all of that to say that there is something in you that's pressing on your heart, right? I've been having, very intense conversations, with my mom, who's very passionate and has always been passionate, even before this coming season, passionate about creating opportunities and spaces for young people, holding space to nurture their gifts, holding spaces for them to shine and show up, holding spaces for them to know that this community of Masters of Warping values them. And it started very much so with the Eid, right, with creating the Eid. And if you've ever experienced an Eid at Master of War theme, it is about we prioritize the youth and young adults. We prioritize the children to ensure that they know, look, hey, when Ramadan comes around, when Eid comes around, you will be loved on. You will know that you are valuable to us. And it's a way of pouring into them every year when we have these moments. And this type of energy is because, I'm not saying that this is what she said, but I'm saying for me, when I think about it, like we're in the season of Sister Clara Muhammad. This is the season that we're in, right? Our education system of protecting the minds of young Muslim children, of humanity, right? Of humanity's future, right? It's not just for Muslims, that everyone will benefit from an institution like Clara Muhammad School. And this is creating this space for it. It allows us to, the imagination is, what would it look like to have a thriving community where young Muslim children can enter into any institution confident and establish, a way of being, and who can, live as leaders and be in the forefront of creating change and in the forefront of establishing economic, culture, education, all of these areas. And then that pours back into the community. So we see the importance of setting the stage for them to be great, right? And so when you have it in your mind, is it good? Like I always say, that if you visualize it, Allah blessed you with this inspired thought. Allah blessed you with this inspired thought. And because Allah blessed you with this inspired thought, the only question you need to ask to ensure that this is good is to ask that question, is this good for me and my way of life as Islam? Will humanity benefit from this behavior or from this institution or from what it is that I have to offer? And then to ask yourself, like, this has nothing to do. I am doing this strictly for Allah, right? And I know that in me doing it for Allah, I will benefit because Allah is the one who gives the best reward, right? And so this making that choice for oneself, most entrepreneurs, I have been collaborating with many different entrepreneurs because I'm a part of a mastermind of entrepreneurs with multiple backgrounds, and the focus right now is around collaboration. And the number one thing that comes up for entrepreneurs is like, even if I wanted to quit, I can't. And the I can't quit is not tied to, I won't have any money, or I want, no, it's tied to, it is so heavy on my soul and on my heart that God is squeezing me to say, you must do this. And even when I try to stop, roads are blocked to say, just come back to this and be consistent and nurture this. Like, this is where you're supposed to be. And do you love doing it? Absolutely. You love doing it. But there's a part of us, like, the survival instinct kicks in that goes, you know, I got to pay. I could just go get a job. I could get a job, and instantly I'm guaranteed, you know, a salary of X amount per year. I don't have to trip off of how many clients do I need to make sure that the bills are paid, right? I don't have to worry about the taxes. If the taxes are already taken out, all I got to do is turn in my 1099 and be good to go, right? But that's not the case. As an entrepreneur, there's a lot of moving parts and pieces to this responsibility. And so this part of really committing to that is about us holding to that vision and trusting it and doing the work necessary to collapse the timeline of bringing yourself closer to the imagined vision and to the reality, right? These steps in between are what are the habits and consistent behaviors that's going to close the gap to bring this closer to make that happen. And once that happens, then there's a whole nother journey to be had, right? So when I look at, you know, individuals who have the, if there was this thing, because right now we always think about, well, what would it take for us to fund these young people to go to college? What would it take where they don't have to stress out about, you know, sign up for FAFSA and doing a group crowdfund and all of these different things, but they have an idea and then they have a community that says, yes, that sounds like a good idea. Let's work through the plan and then I can fund you to ensure that this is what. There is a natural instinctual part that will say, you know, this community invested in me. I'm going to invest back in it because I know that's where I feel most tied to my community. Like whenever I make a call out for anything that it is that I'm doing, the community shows up for me. And it doesn't mean the community showing up meaning as in bodies and numbers, but it is a space that I always feel safe and comfortable, and I can share what I'm working on, and I can feel celebrated, or I can have the space will be held for me to shine in my gift. And sharing that out with the community. It's like, oh, okay, you like theater? Okay, well, what do you want to do? And I could bring an idea like, well, I want to do a youth program that does X, Y, and Z. Okay, here's the space. Go for it. This is what's required to make that happen. And so I continue to go back because that has been a space for me to learn how to do what it is that I do. And as a result, I become better, and then I take that, the skills that I've learned, to the outer community, and as they enrich me, I come back and pour back into the community, right? So it's like I have dreams of, like, when the call comes for the Eid, and it's like, okay, yeah, Eid is going to cost $10,000. No, it's not a thing. I can write the check. It's done. Whatever you want to do beyond that, that's fine. But Camila got this one. 10K, check in the, you know, Zelle, check done. How do we do that? Like, it's a dream of mine, right? And because I'm so adamant about wanting to be able to show up in that way, it is up to me to create the habits to take the vision and bring it into reality. What are the steps in between there that require me to be able to close the gap in doing so, right? So I want to implore us to think about, there's a vision that you have for your life. Is it good? Is it good for your way of life of Al-Islam? Will it strengthen you as a Muslim? Is it something that will keep you focused and grateful? If it has all of those good things, yes. It's a yes. Let's do it. So now is the discipline required in order to take that vision and bring it into reality. All of the hiccups that come along with it, we'll make mistakes. I mean, we're human. The mistakes will happen. But the mistakes are not to throw you off the path. The mistakes strengthen you to, okay, pay attention to the lessons. What are the signs that I need to understand about that? And let me get back on track, right? Let me not make a decision based out of ego. Let me not make a decision based off how I want people to receive me. Let me make my decision off of what is pleasing to Allah. And in me making my decision on what is pleasing to Allah, I too will be pleased, right? It's like, let me be pleasing to Allah. I will bring you all of the joy, all of the joy. Just think about those slightest moments when you've done something good. There's a moment right there. There's a split moment. If you're paying attention in that very moment that you're doing something, that Allah will show up and give you that, well done. But you have to be present in the moment, be present in the salat, be present in the conversation, be present in the giving of the zakat, be present in the fasting, because we're saying it, present. Like, to be present is the gift. You can receive the present in the present, right? So let's be focused on that moment. Let's not think about how far that, well, how much more do I have to do? No, embrace this very moment to really be kissed by the blessing that is happening in the present time, because that's the real matter. That's the only point that really, really matters. Those other things can come and go. We don't know it, but what's happening at this moment, at this time, is what is real. The other things are all imagined, and what has happened has already passed. What has happened has already passed. And with that, I'm going to call the imam back into the room. I think I was breaking up a little bit, but.
You were clear to me.
Okay, good.
I mean, maybe, you know, there was some video, you know, snap is still doing a little bit right now.
Okay.
It's an imperfect technology. Only Allah is perfect.
Only Allah.
And you're coming pretty close with your presentations. So,
Alhamdulillah.
You'll get there. Let me move on. We got much to say, and I don't want to rush myself and rush everybody else. Alhamdulillah. Thank you as always. So we're about to take a journey. It's going to be light, not twilight. All right, everybody. Alhamdulillah, bismillah, rahman, rahim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. I thank Hajah for her presentation, as always, and her growth and development and deepening. We thank Allah for that. Okay, so let me get specific here. We're going to share. It's all writing. So, I'll put things up, then I'll invite you to, you know, try to take notes of it, because I may or may not actually get to it. Allah is in charge. But I've decided that I will, you know, when I do these broadcasts, because I'm actually working from something that's you know, very far down the road in relative terms, in terms of its development. And Allah has blessed us with a tool that really, I don't know what to use. I don't want to necessarily say the cotton gin, but something of that nature that enables us to take raw material and refine it very quickly. So, alhamdulillah, I've decided since I won't fix myself to stick to a specific time, I'll just let the clock dictate how much we say in a given period of time. As we said, the topic of my portion of the total broadcast, the theme is an introduction to spiritual physics imagination. So it's an introduction to spiritual physics and imagination is what we're going to focus on today. Focus on introducing, right? Some of the essential aspects of this is statement that you've heard us make, and primary to this is spirituality is the physics that we have not yet understood. Spirituality is the physics that we have not yet understood. So there's this big overarching, you know, unfulfilled category. There are workers who are working in it, and I count myself among them, but because of how, quote-unquote, new it is to the general public, and even 20 years is new, but in terms of the birth of the social media and all these different channels that are available now for more people to jump on, just like myself, to jump on and, hey, well, let's just go ahead and put it out there. And by putting it out there, then that creates more and more streams and more points of access for that kind of information, like drops of water in drops of rain in the bodies of water. So you have these circles that are overlapping, and more and more the aggregation of these overlaps are being also aggregated to where full ideas, full theories, quote unquote, full packages of understanding of it. And I'm just joining that activity that I'm describing. The beautiful little chatter that you might hear is my twin granddaughters. So they're not far away, alhamdulillah, the beauty of life. So I'm going to read a couple of quotes from Imam Muhammad. Since the focus is imagination, and I'm respecting and of uppermost respect those of you who consider yourself students and followers and associates of Imam Wahdi Muhammad, whichever your choice of terms are, I know that what I say has to have grounding with you. It has to have grounding in something that Imam Muhammad has said. And the better is do it unforced, untwisted. You know, you don't have to contort or distort what he said to quote unquote make him seem to say what you might be saying. No, as direct as possible. The more direct, the better. So, these comments, the quotes that I'm going to give you right now, are some things that Imam Muhammad said about imagination. That's what we're talking about. In a speech entitled "The Creative Mind," delivered on March 17, 1991, Imam Muhammad, he spoke about the importance of imagination in fostering creativity. He said, "Imagination is the seedbed of all innovation. It is the workshop where great ideas are born and fashioned into new and useful products." Okay? So, the products that we have, and I say again, look around your room, look around about, and everything was at one point in time just in somebody's imagination. That's all. It had to get there first before it can come into our possession and utilization as they are right now. So imagination is the seedbed of all innovation. And let's go ahead and say this too, because this is critical for Muslims. The Imam said, some things, and we took a step. But actually, those of you who are here for the beginning of the broadcast, which I invite you all to always come earlier, because I'm giving something as a setup for the context of what I'm saying right now. Well, we use Imam Muhammad, and actually the piece that we played was like I don't have the title, name, location of it, but I headed it under my category of creativity, industry, creation, imagination. That's why I headed it. And it's two 40-minute units. And I decided to just go ahead and start in the middle, which would be at the beginning of the second 40. Inshallah, perhaps next week we may actually start it from the beginning. But the point is that he talked about how other people, particularly the Jews, how they are much more successful in so many different areas and why they are much more successful in so many different areas, and that Muslims will experience equal and greater success by sticking to our religious ideals in the way that they stick to their religious ideals relative to how they see the world and how they see reality, et cetera. Well, our vision is to come from the Quran and the life model of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And the more we stick to that and live by that, the more the promise of success, productivity, et cetera, that Allah has made to those who do so will come into our possession, come into our lives. This is what we have to do. So the idea, when this word, this English word innovation, bid'ah, translation, that is, innovation is translation of bid'ah, and the total off track take that evolved, and we know it's shaitan deliberately injecting it into the Muslim mindset, is that all innovation leads to hell, right? So I think the title of the book is The Lever of Riches. That book, don't know the author's name, but it traces the history of what leads to and has led to riches throughout history. And there was a point at which the Muslims were the leading edge for advancement economically and in so many other ways. But they said somewhere around the 13th century or so, Muslims fell off. Essentially, that was their language. Muslims fell off. And then they said it's because they ceased innovating. They ceased innovating. So someone had convinced a large enough group, or the elite, the mindset had been so infected by the idea of this literal interpretation of how every innovation is a deviation or leads to hell or what have you. Yeah, that's when you corrupt the religion, when you corrupt the deen, when you corrupt the practices, when you corrupt the application of the fundamentals of the religion, and you create a different religion, quote unquote, which is now no longer al-Islam, yeah, that leads to hell, right? But it's not innovation in metalwork. How do you think human beings got to where they are? You know, the Iron Age, the Bronze Age, the Stone Age, you know, clay pots and all these other utensils, different kinds of weapons and tools that were created over time. All that's innovation. And it's that innovation that allowed the human beings to evolve as they are, right? I mean, if you just take the wheel, it's like that was an invention. It was an innovation over whatever we had before, which fundamentally is nothing. And that wheel is still, in essence, the same thing. That's why we use the language, don't reinvent the wheel. Why? Because that's what works. And so much to be said. But know this. Reality of life in the world is like 10% innovation and 90% imitation. 10% innovation and 90% imitation. Once something gets created that works, human beings stick with it. I said, I don't have to create that. That already exists. Okay, let me use that so I can put my creative energies towards something else, right? So Allah gives certain people this capacity for creation for the benefit of society, right? And the society knows something good when it sees something good, as a general rule, historically. And so, therefore, people just imitate the innovation, all right? So I need to move on. So the idea is that the innovation, get away from that translation of innovation, that English word, innovation, and apply it outside of the boundaries of the deen and the ritual of, and the established of al-Islam. That's where that belongs. When you corrupt that by innovating against those established principles that Allah has ordered, yeah, you're cutting a path to hell. But not when you do so in education, or when you do so in education from the perspective of academic sciences and all the rest of it, you know, and in terms of even politics or governance, the way that that's done, culture and all those things. Yeah, innovate. You have to. Let's move on. So the imam says that he said the imagination is the seedbed of all innovation. It is the workshop for great ideas, where great ideas are born and fashioned into new useful products. How can you create new and useful products if you don't innovate? Build a better mousetrap and the world will be the path to your door. That's how it is. All right? Another quote from the imam on imagination. Okay. In a lecture entitled The Power of Imagination, delivered on December 17, 1989, Imam Muhammad spoke about the spiritual significance of imagination. He said, our imagination is the key to unlocking the spiritual realm. I know you need to reflect on, meditate, hold on to, think about our imagination is the key to unlocking the spiritual realm. You know, sometimes when I do these pieces, you know, I say, well, this quote, I don't know when it's going to come up actually in time, but let me, I'll bring it up when I think it fits. Yeah, I'll use it right here. We'll come back to that emotional piece in a minute. But this, the quote here where it says that material is associated with the science of knowledge, and the spiritual is associated with a science or knowledge, okay? So the thing that we have to understand, and this is actually what we're really delving into, there's physics and there's metaphysics, right? So physics can be seen as the material realm, and metaphysics can be seen as the spiritual realm. In fact, that's actually what they are. There's the physics and there's the metaphysics. We got physics down, and a lot of time and devotion and faith and work and investment has been made into, quote-unquote, physics, all right? We got Newtonian physics, we got quantum physics, we got regular classical physics, et cetera. Fine, that's good, but that's only one side of the picture. That's the material side of the picture. The spiritual side of the picture is with it. That's why it's called metaphysical. Metaphysical exists in the context, or it exists in part. Well, Allah says he created everything in noble pairs. Just take that. He created everything in noble pairs. So if there's a material, then there's also a spiritual, right? If there's a physical, there's also a metaphysical, right? There's a seen, there's also an unseen. That's not. So you ought to just take that and don't worry. Take it like the wheel. It already exists. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. That exists. Okay. But the world has only given the license, if you will, if you depend on the world for your license, i.e. your freedom to think and what you can think about, then they've only credentialed you and licensed you and made it okay for you to think about the material side of everything. And if you try to delve into the spiritual, the metaphysical, you're considered kooky or woo-woo or whatever. So any other kind of boogeyman type of way to get you to get back over there. Don't cross those lines. Get back over there. And that's what's happening in the world. So people don't feel the freedom, those who have been so leashed by the world's mind, they won't get off the porch. You know, you stay. You know, like, I got to put it this way, like a dog in the yard that's been chained. It's like the chain only goes so far, you know, but you won't get away. Let's get out of here. So our imagination is the key to unlocking the spiritual realm, the Imam says, and that's what we need, therefore, then. If you want to get to the other side, literally in the best possible way in this life, if you want to get to the other side of the material and the physical reality, then you're going to have imagination, right? Einstein himself is quoted as saying that imagination is more important than knowledge. Imagination is more important than knowledge. Let's finish the Imam's quote. He says, it allows us to envision a world that is not yet visible and to connect with the divine in a way that transcends our physical reality. Come on now. That's your leader, those who identify him as such, and I'm counting that as the majority of you who are here or who are visiting sometime later. Why are you listening? Because you associate the speaker with Imam Wazidi Muhammad, and because you associate with Imam Wazidi Muhammad, and you want to know those things that fit inside of the language, logic, and legacy of Imam Wazidi Muhammad, and also advance your life. Well, that's what I'm here for, by Allah's grace and by Allah's permission, and that's my intention, that's my motivation. So you have to understand this, accept this, embrace this, and act on this statement here, so you can move beyond the seen to the unseen. The first verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We believe in the unseen. What's the value of believing in the unseen if you don't want to have anything to do with it? No, you got to do something with it. Okay, so connect with the divine in a way that transcends our physical reality. Here's another quote from the Imam. In a presentation delivered on November 2nd, 1990, Imam Muhammad spoke about the importance of cultivating a positive imagination. He said, we must guard our thoughts and imagination from negativity, fear, and despair. We must cultivate a positive and hopeful imagination, one that is grounded in faith and optimism, and that allows us to envision, that's imagination too, huh? To envision a better future for ourselves and our community. I'm going to tell you something. Hajar Tayyi, she was a part of it. This past weekend we had, after a long break, quote-unquote, in between, we have Shahadatain Institute. Shahadatain Institute was born out of Imam Muhammad's address to a national body of Imams in 1997, December 1997, over a weekend, the Imam gave a series of lectures designed to help Imams perform better in their towns and communities. And in that, he talked about the five pillars of Islam. I'm not going to go all the way into it, but the understanding that arose from that is that every one of the five pillars is an institute. And cultures are made of institutions. And Buni al-Islam wa al-Khams, the structure of Islam is built on five pillars. And each one of those pillars is an institution. And so the seed for the institution that is the flowering of the full maturity of each one of those pillars in social performance and existence, that's what makes up the Islamic culture or ummah. So Shahadatain Institute, Quran Salat Institute, the fasting, Soam, the charity, no, Zakat Institute, Soam or Fasting Institute, Hajj Institute, all those have institutional potential and institute, but they have a logic of it. Another quote that I didn't bring it this time, where the Imam talks about the seed. The seed carries the knowledge, but the seed also carries the logic. Okay, five pillars, Buni al-Islam al-Khams. So each one of those pillars is a seed. Each one of those pillars has a knowledge, and each one of those pillars has a logic. And we did a lecture, alhamdulillah, it's no boast, but we actually worked out, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going through Imam Muhammad's lectures and further edifying what he had pointed out to show the logic of the five pillars, and how those five pillars are to be applied in flight in a given group of people, alhamdulillah. So, dial all that back. So we had our, it was our 18th after, you know, it was a number of years since we have had the last one, but we're good to go, alhamdulillah. I applied what I'm telling you right now about imagination and this statement here about faith and optimism and the idea about envisioning a better future for ourselves and for our community and protecting our thoughts from our thoughts and imagination from negativity, fear, and despair. I applied that to this event this weekend. And anytime you have moving parts, and those moving parts being people, including yourself, you know, there's always something that can go south, something that is problems, but every time that thought came to mind, I reminded myself of this idea, what you're supposed to do in whatever it is that you're talking about achieving and accomplishing. You first start from the base of recognizing how powerful just your consciousness is. I'm talking about, listen, we're all part nafsun wahidatin. Please don't hold me to always saying the Arabic of whatever it is I'm talking about all the time. And I'm talking to myself while I'm talking to you. But I'm also saying that, look, I ain't going to do that every time. You know, it's like the imam said, you know, it's like, look, I'm not going to quote you chapter and verse. You know, some of the worst people, worst speakers that you know, they quote chapter and verse. And he's talking about the character of such individuals who use that as a part of their trick to manipulate you other ways. So he says some of the people who do that, and I'm not saying everybody who does that. He's just putting you up on watch out for that. But also on the flip side of that, don't expect that all the time to feel like, nah, we got it right. Yeah, but sometimes, you know, Imam Muhammad did it. I do it as well. Sometimes I will give you chapter and verse so you won't get lost in the sauce, as they say. You know, not because I need you to be sure for me. No, I'm good. I don't even talk about mashallah, and I pray Allah keeps it so. It's like, I don't even come to talk to you about nothing until I've got all the goods. I got all the goods. Mashallah, let's go. So the idea is that, you utilizing this principle, you know, nafsun wahida, then also each one of us is a little node, but each one of us is a microcosm of the macrocosm. Each one of us is a small, walking, little universe. That's just a fact. Fatatullahi lati fatara nas, chapter 30, ayah 30. Okay? It's all there. See, so once you buy these as the bricks on the road that you travel as a Muslim in your thinking, then it's like, okay, that's a given, so that means this. If that's a given, then that means that. See, that's logic. When the imam says following the logic to its conclusion, right? And that's what logic is. Logic is inference making. It's reasoning, right? It's like, oh, if this, then that. If that, then this. If this, then that. Very simple, but that's the case. All right. So because we have this power. By nature, we have this power by our existence. If you are alive, if you're hearing what I'm saying, any of your senses, all this information that is reaching you, you're alive. You have a consciousness. And that consciousness is connected to a power that exists in the creation. It is. Okay. So that means, however, that power can either work for you or against you. It can work for you or against you. Placebo, nocebo, right? Placebo is like something cannot really, sugar pills. If somebody gives you sugar pills but they tell you it's something else, then the healing that something else was supposed to do will take place in most people anyway, even though there was no medicinal pharmacological value in the sugar pill, but it was all in the mind of the person. So where did the healing come from? The healing came from the pharmacy inside the person that responded to the imagination in the person that believed that the sugar pill was the real deal. That's it. So that means that just believing it without the sugar pill drama, would have, could have, potentially brought about. So anybody taking real medicine, keep taking your medicine, all right? But the reality is, because I'm not a doctor, okay? The reality is that that's how the makeup, that the universe, which is a part of us, and all the potential for all the various cures that can happen, they are already a part of us. They are already a part of us, right? But what evokes and provokes and invokes the activation of those potentialities is the extent to which we believe it, right? The extent to which we believe it, because that's the trigger, that's the switch. That's the on-off switch of the inner resources and the outer resources relative to the universality of that. All right, so what I'm going to say about the Shahada attainment through graduation. So the point is that all you have to do, I'm saying this to you in this way now, I mean, it was for me, it was really just like a testing moment. Yeah, it is what it is. So it's like, okay. So you have to, let me see, maybe my next play. Oh, here it is. That's good. Here's how it works. Now, those of you who already feel you have a familiarity, set that aside for a minute. Okay, yeah, I've heard it. Stop. Just okay. Hold on to what you got. Let me give you an example from me, ma'am. I'm going to get through it, inshallah. So I'm talking about how I was thinking as relates to the weekend's event, Shahada attainment Institute graduation. All right, so that's what I'm talking about. But I need to step into example so I can help you not lose the benefit of what's in front of you because of what you think you already know. That's how you lose too. I'm an example of that, and I thank Allah Imam Muhammad saved me from that and woke me up from that in a situation such as this. There's an international organization called the International, it's the religious parallel to the UN. That's what it is. It's the religious parallel for the UN. I don't know. I don't even know the label for that. IRC comes into my mind right now. I'm sorry. But the point is, it exists right now. You know, Imam Muhammad Rahimullah, he was invited. I was also there with the Imam. He brought me with him to have a session. So you had Hindus, Buddhists, Protestants, Muslims, Jews. You had those people. This was all in the Bay Area. We were out there by Stanford. In fact, I think we were on Stanford campus. This was the formulating group for, I don't know what it's called, International Council of Religions or something like that, whatever that is. And so it's like, you know, like when you go to a workshop or you go to a team meeting for your company or what have you, you have all the people. Okay, these were the people that were there. Imam Muhammad was invited to be there. So you understand what level this is on and its very existence. Now, it is the spiritual counterpart of the UN started in the Bay Area, and this particular session was on Stanford campus. So when we took a break out of the session, you know, each group, because Muslims wanted to get to know more of the Muslims who are there, Catholics, you know, everybody, okay, get together with your people, spend some time, get to know each other inside of your own faith, right? So we went to a session, we grouped with other Muslims. And so, you know, Imam, mashallah, he's not, you know, he ain't in a hurry to, you know, to flex or shine or whatever, you know, humble, you know, period, right? And so he wasn't in any kind of takeover mode or what have you. So there was another Muslim, you know, and obviously everybody's high level operation, right? So the Imam, not Imam, whoever this Imam, Sheikh, whatever was, when they speak, he started speaking about Abraham, right? And when he started talking about Abraham, and he actually started talking about the Isra wa Mi'raj, to start speaking about that. And, you know, I joke because there was this time in the space when I was with the imam, I'll be with the imam, this is very early on. And, you know, I'm talking early 80s or whatever. I don't even know if man was in residence here or not. In either case, so this person started talking about Abraham and Isra wa Mi'raj, right? And as you know, with my last publications, like, you know, I have a fondness for Isra wa Mi'raj, as I found that to be so stimulating from the imam, and I was affected in the same way. In terms of his attitude toward it, and I really, you know, fell in love with just the idea and everything that the imam had explained to us what it meant and all of that. Well, this person started talking about it, and I think I interrupted. In fact, I know I interrupted in some kind of way what he was saying with the attitude, appetite, spirit, et cetera, of wanting to correct the person. Why? Because he was not saying what Imam Muhammad had said. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. I did kind of have a mother-son, listen to what I'm saying, a mother-son relationship with the Imam, along with the other, but a mother-son. Now, what I mean by that, it's like if you had one of those kind of mothers, they don't have to say nothing to you. All they have to do is just look at you. They look at you in a certain way, and you know, hey, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. That's how the imam looked at me in that moment, and I stood corrected, and I was good, and I got back into my lane as I should have been. But alhamdulillah, it's all part of growth. So, and it's also, and the imam has said it before, but it's not until you get reminded that you, as obvious as it sounds, it's not until you get reminded until you realize what you forgot, right? And one of the things that I forgot in that was that, look, man, I ain't told you everything that everything means. I told you what I told you, what something means in the context that I told it to you. Now, somebody else knows another way of saying something or knowing something. You should embrace that too, like I do, right? So that's what I'm. So that's the only reason I'm putting that stop, pause, that whatever you think you know aside, or you may lose an additional benefit. You can hold on to that, and now you got something to put with it. Okay, so particularly as it relates to imagination. So imagination, think about having a clear mental image, right? A very clear mental image, right? Imagination. Here's the definition, imagination. The A-T-I-O-N, as in education or oxidation or whatever, the A-T-I-O-N means the outcome of a certain process. That's what it means. The A-T-I-O-N, the outcome of a certain process. So imagination means the outcome of the process of imagining. The outcome of the process of imagining. Say it again. The outcome of the process of imagining. And what is imagining? Imagining is the virtualization, meaning you make it virtually come into existence. It's the virtualization of your experience of the end goal achieved. That means acting like you already have it, acting like it's already done, acting like it's past tense. It's past tense. It has happened. All right? That's the start of it. The virtualization of your experience of the end goal achieved. Okay, so the virtualization of your experience, here's the words, which means feeling all the feelings that would be invoked in you by the achievement of your goal in advance. Okay. The virtualization, meaning you're bringing it into existence in your imagination, the virtualization of your experience, it's already done. How would you feel when the goal is achieved? How would you feel? So you succeed in this virtualization of your experience when you feel all the feelings that would be invoked by the achievement of your goal, the achievement of your goal in advance. So you feel the feelings before the thing actually happens, but you feel the feelings of the thing as though it's already happened. All right? That's what it is. That, in essence, is what imagination is, and that is the process that you are to exercise and practice in relationship to what it is that you want to create. Now, give yourself the power. Listen to what I'm saying. Give you. See, it's all you. Either you have to say, no, Fahim, no, you can't do that. But who's talking? Who's telling Fahim he can't do that? Fahim? It's like, I'm going to pull up one of the commercials sometime in the future where I don't know what the woman's name is. It's a real estate commercial where she has all her different types of self, all her different selves in a meeting, and she's consulting with all those different selves in the meeting. So you got the negative self, the proud self, the self-pleasing self, or whatever, and she asks them, and the joke is each one of them responds in type. I haven't seen it, but I think Inside Out has something to do with personification of different emotions, but I haven't seen it, so I don't know. Don't ask me. I haven't seen it. But I think that was the theme of that. So the point is that we have all kinds of quote-unquote selves, and sometimes the wrong one is in charge. And sometimes the negative self, this is where the imam said we have to, let's go back to it. The imam said we have to guard our thoughts and our imaginations from negativity, fear, and despair. There's a personification for negativity in each of us. There's a personification of fear in each of us. There's a personification of despair in each of us. There is an urgent impulse in each one of us for every way of feeling there is. And each one of them is trying to take charge of the whole machinery. And the executive in your reality, that i.e., whoever you call I, whoever you call me, whatever is your sense of yourself, is the one that say, no, we're not going to do that. Yeah, we are going to do that. Who are you talking to? You're talking to dimensions of your own self. And the imam is saying, and listen, Quran, okay, one more time. Not one more time. Another example. In the Surah Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, I hold myself not to be blameless, for I know the dark suggestions that man's soul makes to him. I know the dark suggestions that man's soul makes to him. And that's one. And then there's also, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُوءٍ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. It says, surely, the nafs al-amara, that's the self, right? It's a dimension of the self, an aspect of the self, a state of the self that makes suggestions of evil to him, except the ones who receive the mercy of Allah. All right? So we always have something inside of us that's working against us. This is going to be another subject at another time. But the whole idea of the statement of self-delusion, do you understand that it's possible for us to lie to ourselves? I won't say you to lie to yourself. I want to be real clear on that. It's possible, and it is a state of affairs until we're in control of our perception, our imagination, as the imam said, our thoughts, et cetera, that we can be self-deluded. Self-deluded. Who's doing the deluding? The self. He's doing the deluding. Who is being deluded? Yourself is being deluded by yourself. So you have to have this self-control, self-awareness, self-perception to be sure that the right self is in charge. Okay? So, let's go back. So the idea is you have all these feelings that you can bring to service in your goal accomplishment. You can bring those feelings that have their own, quote-unquote, personality. You can push certain of them out and bring certain others of them in. So what are we talking about? Joy, pleasure, happiness, satisfaction, all of that. So, okay, what did I do? Allahu alam, you know, it's long, we only have a few minutes left here. But, yeah, the idea is like there is the power that we have. We shouldn't be afraid of it, but we should not arrogate too much to ourselves. And I'm saying to those hearing, you're going to do what you're going to do. If you dismiss it, you're also at the same time dismissing your own power to do the same. That's just how it is. And that's what faith is, right? Okay, if you believe it, then you get the power that goes with it. If you don't believe it, then you don't get the power that goes with it. So it's a choice that you make. You say, I don't believe it. Well, you should also change the language that I don't want that kind of power, right? I don't need that kind of power. You really have to think about why and what do you think if that's not the case. But I want to get away from that. The idea is I did that. So I imagined people with smiles on their faces. I imagined people with satisfaction. I imagined people, just embracing each other. I imagined people happy to be there. I imagine the sense of accomplishment that would be on both the people who are working on the ceremony itself and those who are participating in the ceremony itself and those who are coming to acknowledge the graduates and all of that. That was the drama that I had in my mind, heart, spirit. And anytime any thought came into my mind that, you know, that's expressed some kind of fear, anxiety, doubt, or what about this, what about that, what if this, what if that? No, blah, 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 blah. No. This is what happened. This is what happened. People were happy. We were successful, and we were congratulating each other, and we were having it. And mashallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, that what happened. Whatever alternative expression, explanation you may want to apply to that, alhamdulillah, that's for you. But for me, that's how it happened. There's no way to turn the clock back and say, okay, well, what would have happened if I hadn't thought that way? It'd probably go happen that way anyway. No, I can't say that. It's what you call path dependency. In reality, path dependency, you know, like, was it Ricky Bobby? Somebody say, that just happened or something like that. It's like, look, that happened. And it didn't happen without what I said, because I said what I said. I had the consciousness that I had, and it happened that way. So in essence, that's also your dua. When you take that state of mind, it is an aspiration that you are asking Allah to fulfill for you. Allah is obviously, Allah is his will. It says, Quran, Allah comes between a man and his heart. So you can have aspirations. We can have aspirations. But it's only going to be realized if it suits the will of Allah. Right? Okay, so question. What about that wouldn't suit the will of Allah? Trying to think of anything. I wasn't trying to think it. It's done. That happened. Right? And I'm saying it comes from and through the power of feeling all the feelings that were invoked by the sense of accomplishment in advance. All right? Another thing you may be surprised to know You think about bad relations that you have with people, you know? You think about bad relations that you have with people. It's like the relationship is bad, but it takes two to tango. Takes two to tango, right? Okay, try it. And this is Quran too. I'm just giving, mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. This is no book, but I'm saying here's the concrete translation of what Allah tells us abstractly in the Quran, particularly this. It says good and evil are not equal. Follow up the evil deed with the good. Those who respond to an evil deed with what is better. And it may be that between whom and you was enmity would become like close and intimate friends and protectors of each other, right? So when someone is coming at you, you make a contribution to it, we make a contribution to it. If you just imagine, as I'm saying, how would you feel and how would they feel? Think about them with the change feeling. Think about yourself with the change feeling about the nature of your relationship. And see, the work that has to be done is you managing the power that you have and that comes with the negative thought. I got a big example. I'm talking about a community-wide example right here. I'll just put it in this frame. The fitna of 2001. Somebody knows what that means. When all that was over, when all that, quote-unquote, came to an end, it came to an end. Allah was in charge, but it wasn't without, I have to say, because there are people who know, it was myself, realizing, I, as a central figure to the whole drama, and to Al-Islam in the Bay Area. This is something that happened before I understood the science of what I'm telling you now. So I'm telling you right now about something 15 years ago. But it's a demonstration of the same process was at work, but I didn't know what the process was. So it was a tit-for-tat scenario for at least 4 or 5 years. Okay, you're going to say this about me? I'm going to say this. You're going to say this about that? I'm going to rebut this. You're going to say that? I'll rebut that. I realize that, Fahim, you're the one that all the strings of emotions in the Bay Area for our community, Association of the American World of Imam, whoever, you can deny that, anybody wants to, that's all on you. All you got to do is look at the history, but I got to move on because I'm into sensitive stuff. It's not the weeds, it's not the swamp, it's just a real reality of history and an example of what I'm telling you. So you'll know I'm not a newbie to this in the context of it working. It's only new that I have a clearer expression of it now. Here you go. So it's like all these stakeholders in the life of Islam, in the Association of Imam Waqidi Muhammad, in the Bay Area, it was like I had my hand on the center cord. And as long as I was turning it, then, nah, y'all ain't going to do that to me. So no matter how, what a sophisticated way I may have been presenting my defense, it was still tightening the hold. So the tension in the Bay had to do with how tightly I was deciding that I was going to hold it. And once that image of the scenario became clear to me, I said, Fahim, all you got to do is just let go. All right? And the tension is going to go away. And that's what happened. There's a longer story to it. And Allah's will was at work because the final release came on Eid al-Fitr. I won't elaborate on it. But the point is that Allah has set it up in such a way, and I say Allah set it up in such a way, that the tension went away. I'm talking about for the whole Bay Area. Yeah, you still got people carrying stuff. You got people carrying stuff from whatever. MashaAllah. You know, may Allah relieve them, comfort them. May Allah bless them to get in touch with what I'm saying right here, right now, because if they would just change the way that they're perceiving and what it is that they're feeling and the feelings that they continue to entertain that are negative, that's their own prison. In fact, there's an author, Patakos, I believe the author's name is, Prisoners of Our Thoughts. Prisoner of Our Thoughts. All right, so that's, I mean, that's the process. The process. And let's move to this here. Aspiration and inspiration are both spiritual, right? And spirituality, this is the thrust of what we're talking, the theme under which we're speaking. Spirituality is the physics we have not yet understood. So aspirations are spiritual. Inspiration is spiritual. And that is the physics that we have not yet understood. And this is an introduction to that, right? So here is a very critical thing that I can't go without saying this. Imam Muhammad says that faith is a form of emotionality. This is really important, because when we say you have to feel the feelings that would be invoked by the achievement of your goals, right? So it's like, you have to see in your mind's eye, in your imagination, that goal achieved. And you have to bring out in yourself the feelings that you would feel upon that accomplishment. So how you manage your feelings / emotions relative to your goal is a part of the metaphysics of the accomplishment itself. So getting this virtualization or this realization, this imagination, making it concrete inside of yourself by virtue of feeling the feelings that would arise in its accomplishment, do that. Whatever. I'm going to use the word conjure right now, because I want you to understand you have to build those feelings up in yourself. Build them up by visualizing the event complete. The event complete, how am I feeling? Put yourself there. How am I feeling? It's done. How am I feeling? I'm feeling like this. What's going on? How are the people around you feeling? Da, 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 da. Okay? These tie into aspiration and inspiration, and they're all spiritual. The Imam said that your emotionality is your spirituality. So don't think you got to run somewhere. Oh, my spirituality, man, I'm too emotional. To be emotional is to be spiritual, right? So, yeah, your emotionality is your spirituality. Listen to the Imam's statement. He says, faith is a form of emotionality. Did you know that? Faith is a form of emotionality. So your faith is made up of your emotionality. You want to have better faith, you need better emotions, because the emotions are the substance of your faith. Faith is a form of emotionality. I have faith because of my emotional makeup. My spiritual, I'm quoting the Imam, my spiritual expression, my fear, my intuition, my instinct, and we can add my imagination, are nothing but conditions of emotionality. We find then that the original form of man is emotionality. Thus it is in emotionality that the intellect dawns. Emotionality in its proper state is the suitable womb for the birth of the intellect. Ha, ha, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Jum'ah, in the quote, Jum'ah, we pointed out in the physiology of our growth in the womb, the first organ in the human being that comes into existence in the fetus is the heart. The heart. And the next organ out of all the organs, stomach, lungs, you know, pancreas, whatever, liver, whatever, out of all the organs, the second organ is the brain. So the emotionality is represented as the heart, the feelings, all right? And its proper state, when you get them in the proper state, that is the suitable womb for the birth of the intellect. Your brain will grow. Your intellect will grow upon the health of the heart. Do I have to say the hadith? There's a piece of flesh in the body which, if it is good, the whole body is good. If it's bad, the whole body is bad. It is the heart. So that's the creation supported social logic of this whole piece. So let me see if I can wind up with. Oh no, here comes the whole. Oh, this was the background for the hypothesis itself. Inshallah, next week. The way I do next week, you take a screenshot and get familiar with that. So next week. Since this is where I'm stopping next week, this is where we'll be starting. And I'm going to start without that background. Everything I've said so far is the background. Now, as I move away and call Hajjah back into the room, I want to remind you all of something else. where's my... Yeah, so... Dr. Nuruddin of Greensboro, North Carolina, he and I are doing a tandem weekend, empowerment weekend, March 18th and 19th. I want you to go to empowermentwebinar.eventbrite.com. Because there is a tuition for this particular event, I feel even more obligated to deliver at the higher planes on such sessions. So despite what we, even in the face of, I should say, in the face of what we've just been talking about, there's higher levels on this mountain that I really, really want to go to. And I mean, and those who take the time, give the energy, have the spirit, have the desire to get that kind of information, then this is where you should be. You should be at the empowerment webinar. So go to empowermentwebinar.eventbrite.com and register. Dr. Nuruddin and I are going to be spending 4 hours on both days, March 18th, March 19th. You know, like Schloss Stone say, we want to take you higher, inshallah. And we will do that. Let's see. Hajjah, everything, Mike, everything good? No, it's not.
Alhamdulillah, everything is good.
Mm-hmm. All right, so your commentary before we sign off.
Yeah, continue to explore the universe itself. Continue to explore it, you know, and pay attention to each moment. Trust if you're inspired with a vision of what you want your life to look like and be, trust that, and then ask Allah to show you the habits and the rituals and the things to do in order to bring that into your reality. Yeah.
Because you call them in when you do that. Absolutely.
Call
get those
in.
Forces
Absolutely.
Working. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for
All right.
us. All right. Everybody have a wonderful evening. Allah's peace be on you. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you.